This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. James Whitey Bulger's lawless run came to an end yesterday when a federal jury found him guilty on 31 of 32 counts, including racketeering, extortion, money laundering, and participating in 11 of the 19 murders with which he was charged. Few people know his story better than Shelley Murphy. The Boston Globe reporter has covered Whitey Bulger and his criminal empire for 17 years. She and Globe columnist Kevin Cullen are authors of Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice. We spoke to her when the book first came out about Whitey's path from the housing projects of South Boston to career criminal to FBI informant to 16 years as a fugitive on the lam. Shelley has been covering the Bulger trial and joins us now with more. Shelley, you must be exhausted.
Yeah, well, it was a very busy day yesterday. There were so many layers to this story. You had the, you know, a courtroom packed with the families of many of Bulger's victims. You had, you know, law enforcement officials who had targeted him for years, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. And you had some of the FBI agents who tracked him and actually caught him in Santa Monica, all packed into this courtroom. It was very dramatic waiting for that verdict to be announced.
And he will likely spend the rest of his life in prison, but that didn't seem to be enough for some of the families there in the courtroom. Who went away unhappy?
Well, you know, it was really very sad because you have these families who have been waiting decades for some resolution, some, you know, accountability. The 19 murders that Whitey was accused of happened between 1973 and 1985. So when the verdict was announced, the prosecutors failed to prove that Bulger committed seven of those slayings. And there was one slaying in particular, Deborah Davis, who was strangled in 1981, and the jury could not reach a verdict on that one. So you had families who felt, you know, I mean, they were very upset that their cases weren't proven. They cried. You had people crying and unhappy, saying all this wait only for this verdict. Mm-hmm. And then you had the families who were so relieved and so happy. They finally got a verdict that went their way. So there were very mixed emotions.
You write in the book an awful lot about how Whitey tried to cultivate this image of himself as a decent criminal, the good, bad guy. What did this trial do to that part of his legacy?
Well, I think it's very clear that if there were pockets of support and people who thought, gee, he was kind of a good, bad guy, you know, and maybe it was gangsters killing gangsters, this verdict certainly shatters any myth like that. I mean, the most stunning thing during this trial was that in opening statements, Bulger's own lawyer said, oh, yes, he sold drugs. He peddled drugs. He actually, you know, brought drugs into South Boston. He made millions of dollars selling drugs. And that came on the heels of years of him trying to cultivate this myth as the guy who kept the drugs out of Southie. So that was number one of shattering of this myth of him as some benevolent do-gooder in his own neighborhood. What we saw in this trial is that he was really a bully in that neighborhood. I mean, he menaced people. If you had something that he wanted, he would stick a gun in your face or a machine gun in your stomach and demand you pay up, or he would kill you or your family. And there were a number of people who came in and testified to these very horrifying encounters with Bulger. And the other part of the myth is the women. It was very important to him that he tried to prove to that jury that he never killed women. And the jury did find that they couldn't reach an agreement on whether he participated in the strangulation of Deborah Davis. Davis was Steve Flemmy's girlfriend, you know, Bulger's partner Flemmy. And Flemmy was the only witness who could put Bulger there. And I think this jury was very reluctant to convict on the word of one sort of questionable gangster who was a pretty sleazy character. But the second murder, the murder of Deborah Hussey, the second woman, there was more than one witness there. Not only did Flemmy say that Bulger strangled her while he watched, but another, you know, close Bulger associate, Kevin Weeks, he said he was there and that he watched this. So I think the jury had an easier time because there was more evidence in that case. The fact that they found Bulger guilty of that, I think, really shows that the jury was not buying this claim that he, you know, was a gangster with scruples.
Mm. The defense did try to make the case that Bulger had received preemptive immunity from the FBI for his crimes. The judge threw that out. On one level, that ruling meant that everything that he had done was still on trial, but it also meant that Whitey's unholy alliance with the FBI, as some have called it, was not a part of the trial. How did that change the nature of this case?
Well, I mean, it was interesting because the defense certainly did a pretty pretty good job of putting the government on trial. They showed that this corruption ran deep. They had argued that he wasn't an FBI informant, but that he paid for information, that he paid corrupt FBI agents who leaked him information, and that led to a number of these murders. And they made the government look pretty bad when they started calling in agents, you know, some honest agents who were trying to do the right thing back in the 80s, who were saying, oh, yes, Whitey was an informant for the FBI at the same time that he was a suspect in four murders within a two-year period. And yet not only did they continue to use him as an informant, but they really thwarted efforts by investigators, other agents in Oklahoma to try to target Whitey for the, you know, the slaying of a businessman out there. So there was a lot of evidence of FBI misconduct. You had an FBI supervisor who admitted taking $7,000 in bribes from Bulger. So there was a lot of that. And I think the defense was, you know, really did put the focus on the government. But the flip side of that is, you know, Bulger was not allowed to present his claim that a prosecutor who has since died promised him immunity for all his crimes, even murder, past, present, future. And the judge found that, look, that's, you know, even if this happened, you've presented no evidence that this did, you have no documentation, but even if it did, that guy didn't have authority to give you such immunity. So she wouldn't allow that defense. So Bulger's lawyers say that they will appeal on that ground. Bulger called his trial a sham. He said it was unfair. He said that's the reason he didn't take the stand, is because he couldn't put in the case he wanted. But for those of us who have followed this trial, I mean, I think Bulger certainly could have got up there and he could have had his say. You know, he did not want to face cross-examination. Bulger likes to tell his story the way he sees it, and he has a bit of a temper, which we saw during the trial when he swore at some of his former associates. And I think that had he taken the stand, the prosecutors were ready, and they would have grilled him about some jailhouse conversations he had with his brother Bill and some other members of the family. And I think part of this was he was trying to protect his family, and had he taken the stand, they would have asked some embarrassing things that I think he did not want to get into.
When he did speak to the judge in a rather macabre way, he said, "I feel like I'm being choked off from getting a fair trial." You know, this from a man who's accused of strangling women by his hands.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. You know, James Whitey Bulger was found guilty of so many counts at the federal courthouse in Boston, right on the Boston waterfront, his old stomping ground. And this city has been held in his thrall for decades. What does this verdict mean for the city of Boston, Shelley?
I think it was so important that for the city, you know, for law enforcement, for the families, for everybody that we had this day. I really think the worst thing that could have happened is if he had faded off into the sunset and we never knew, you know, how the story ended, where did he go, what happened. So I think the fact that even though the families and the city feel this was an awfully long time coming and he got away with murder for years, it's important for the healing, the fact that he is now behind bars.
Well, it's not quite over yet. Sentencing yet to come in November, and I hope we will speak with you then. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Virginia.
Shelley Murphy, Polk Award-winning journalist. She's been covering organized crime since 1985. We spoke with her in May about the book she co-authored with Kevin Cullen, Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice. You can find a link to more on that book and to listen to that interview at wordofmouthradio.org.